away we go on the Monday edition. Mr. Relevant, I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gerber Law Offices. One call, that's all studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. The rocket ship is full today, baby. Joshy DiMaggio's here. Will Summers is here. Hunter Vaughn's with us back in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. The U.S. has a rocket ship?
Just the first time you've ever used that nomenclature to describe this program.
And Will just shrugged immediately about 10 seconds into the program as he makes his triumphant return to the panel for the entirety of today's show.
Will's been big time in us. Becomes full time. Next thing you know, he's never around.
Yeah.
I'm in training camp.
It sounds like he's back, though.
Back. And I think I told Josh earlier when I was going to be back for the full show to get his words ready, and I think he planned that out.
Nomenclature? No, he didn't, because how could he have planned that out?
I think he was.
He didn't know I was going to call this a rocket ship.
Well, he's always one step ahead, so maybe he did.
That's a nice compliment from Will, then. Good to have him back. Hunter Vaughn, back at the Everlight Solar Studio. What's up, Hunter? How are you?
I'm good. A little bit sore after the weekend of being the Funkle at Six Flags with my nieces, but we're good.
Is Funkle outdated? The term Funkle outdated, as the uncle of two, almost three nieces, soon to be three nieces. I feel as if I'm the Funkle, given I'm the only option, but I feel like that's outdated. No? Anybody got thoughts on this?
No, I think it's still a mentality, and like, you could just be like around,
my God.
But like, I rode every roller coaster that they wanted to ride. I have bruises on my shoulders, and like, I love roller coasters, but like, I'm beat up. I feel like I just went through the ringer.
I hate to report it to you, man. You're getting old. That's what that means.
Yeah, I know, but I still love the roller coasters. Yeah. I'm still going to do it, but I stepped up.
Attaboy. Good stuff. Well, speaking of stepping out, let's get right into it, shall we? How about them Brewers? The Milwaukee Brewers, longest winning streak in Major League Baseball. That's 10 in a row, six of which against the reigning World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Two clean sweeps of the Dodgers, which is a sweep of their season series. The last time, I thought the stat was fascinating, the last time a team swept a season series with the reigning World Series champion and a minimum of six games were played. Do you know the answer to this, Josh?
The Cardinals.
Wrong. Will.
Let's go the Rangers.
Wrong. Hunter.
1998 Miami Marlins. Push notification from the ESPN app this weekend.
It was the Milwaukee Brewers that swept the 1998 Miami Marlins, or Florida Marlins, I guess, at the time. So the last time this happened was the Brewers the year I was born. How fascinating is that?
So interesting.
I mean, but that's 27 years ago.
What percentage of your interest in that specific stat of all the stats we saw has to do with it matching birthday?
It had to do with the fact it was also the Brewers. That's why I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
The year, they could have been 2001. I don't care. The fact that the last time it happened was the Brewers also was just very interesting to me.
The thing that makes it far more impressive is the fact that that team, that Florida Marlins team, had quit and sold their entire team, because that's what they did down there under Jeffrey Lurie and David Sampson, those absolute losers of for owners. And this team...
Was Sampson the owner or the GM?
He was the president.
Gotcha.
And this team, the Los Angeles Dodgers, very much plan to win the World Series this year.
Oh, they still plan on it.
Yes.
Despite being in really rocky territory, they have not been playing good baseball the last couple of weeks, unlike the Brewers, who have taken them to the woodshed the last 2 weeks, or the last, I guess, 2.5 weeks with the All-Star break in there. What the Brewers are doing is unbelievably impressive. They are tied for the second best record in baseball. They are tied for the best record in the National League. They are tied for the first time this season for the NL Central lead with the Chicago Cubs, who have, of course, if they're tied, the second best record in the major leagues. The Tigers won last night on ESPN, so they are the first team to 60. The Brewers and Cubs each with 59 wins on the season, right on their tail. So the Brewers, who started the season 0-4, and we viewed it as complete doomsday. Maybe we didn't, but people did, right? People thought the season was over before it even began for the Milwaukee Brewers, have completely turned this thing around. And as they do or have under Pat Murphy each of the last 2 years, they have just found unique ways to win baseball games. It's not like they are hitting for power the last 2 years, right? It's not like they have guys that are leading the league in home runs. They I think they're 24th or 23rd in the MLB in home runs this year.
I thought it was lower, actually.
It might be. I haven't looked at it in a while. I know they're in the bottom 10, if not the bottom 5. But they are one of the best teams in all of the major leagues in stealing bases. They are one of the best teams in the major leagues when it comes to ERA, right? One of the best pitching staffs in the MLB. And Brandon Woodruff and Jacob Mizorewski are just getting going.
Brewers are 23rd.
Okay, I nailed it. They have won games in such unique and fun ways, and it just seems like it's only going to continue. Like, what they are doing is sustainable. And I think that's the commentary from fans I've seen a lot of on social media the last 24 hours is fans are worried that this isn't sustainable. But I think it is.
Well, 10-game win streaks aren't.
No, definitely not. But I'm saying,
having one of the best records in all of Major League Baseball, I think, is well within their grasp.
I think it's pretty clear they're one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, it's not smoke and mirrors.
No, this is
It's just not conventional how other teams are doing it in 2025. And the Brewers, due to their lack of willingness to spend money and raise the salary number for them, they have to zig when everyone else zigs. They have to find different ways to create runs and to put together a special baseball team that can, as we saw for moments, shout out to Jerry, have the best record in baseball. You have to do things that other teams aren't doing, and you have to win in the margins. Like, if you watch some of the better MLB teams, even like teams that are leading their division, like watch a Yankees game and watch what that looks like on defense. I haven't seen the Brewers ever do what that team will do, the Yankees will do in a weekend on defense. They're throwing the ball all over. They got balls going over their head. They're throwing the cutoff to just no one. That's not Brewers baseball. The Brewers play really fundamentally sound on defense. They have the pitching and then athleticism and speed. They are going to get the absolute most out of all their base runners. They're going to take an extra base. They're going to steal runs. They're going to do everything possible to win in the margins and elevate their team. And that's the reality of where the Brewers have put themselves. Do I think they can continue to improve? Of course.
Yeah.
They can get better.
Of course.
A home run hitter wouldn't be bad. But this Brewers team isn't suddenly going to be a trying to fight for the playoffs type of team. They are as good as their record shows they are.
I just can't get over what they did yesterday, right? You have Clayton Kershaw on the mound, who actually had a pretty nice day. Obviously, the Brewers got to him when he was pulled in the fifth inning. But
right, which took some help from the Dodgers' defense not getting out of an inning.
Correct. But this line, I'm going to read you the lineup yesterday, because it's actually absurd that this team beat the Dodgers. Leading off, Jackson Churio, good start. DHing William Contreras, who's back from, after the All-Star break. Hopefully the hands healed a little bit. Didn't have a great game, though. 1-for-4. This is where it gets absurd. Your 3 batter was Andrew Vaughn. 4th, Isaac Collins. Caleb Durbin batted 5th. Blake Perkins is back. He batted 6th, played center field. Batting 7th at 2nd base. No Bryce Terang yesterday. It was Andre Monasterio. Batting 8th, Joey Ortiz, who we know has been rather inconsistent this year for the Brewers, or consistently underwhelming, however you want to look at it. And then Eric Haas batted 9th and was catching yesterday. That team scored 6 runs and beat the Dodgers yesterday. If I told you that lineup at the beginning of the season, right, with Isaac Collins, Andrew Vaughn, Caleb Durbin, Andre Monasterio, and I said, hey, this is the order that we're going to throw up against the Dodgers, you're guessing what, like 6-0 Dodgers?
Yeah, I mean, that was a punt lineup.
Yes.
The Brewers won 5-6, and we took business here, took care of business. We can get our guys even more rest off of the All-Star break. We plan to play into the postseason. This game is not going to determine our lives in the playoffs.
And they won again!
And they just said, you know what, well, let's just win it anyways, huh? That'll be fun.
Which, look, I'm not saying this lineup is consistently going to win you games. Obviously, this will not be your lineup if you get to October. But it's ridiculously impressive what this team has been able to do, no matter who's out there.
You can throw up lineouts like that
throughout lineups?
Yes. When you win 5 of 6 against the reigning World Series champions.
Yeah, make it 6 of 6.
Yeah, it's you can you're afforded the ability to give your guys a little extra spell to just kind of go out there and see what happens. We've won 5 of 6 from them. What does it really matter? We're going 9-10 here in terms of consecutive wins. This has been a really good run for us. And maybe things will go our way again. And they just seemingly continue to happen that way.
So here's what I want to hear from the fans on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. Are you all in yet? I'm all in. I understand heartbreak may be coming because obviously one of 30 teams wins the World Series. But the good news, as I said yesterday on Sunday Karma, is the Brewers are good enough to be that one team. I think they've proven that to us on July 21st. They're that good. But it seems like the reaction on social media, et cetera, a lot of fans are still at a point where they're like, well, it's only July. This is a fluke. You know, every October they break our heart. Here's the thing. The Brewers are actually going to be in a legitimate position, and I think all of us will probably predict they're going to be the one seed in the National League. They're going to win the NL Central, and they're going to be the top seed in the National League.
I mean, they could.
I mean,
they're in a dead heat with their division rival.
And the Dodgers are obviously still in the
mix. They play them 8 times in the next month?
Yeah, when they go 8-0, I mean, we'll be having a different discussion.
That'll be a very different discussion. If you take 5 of those next 8 games, feel really good about it.
I'm distracted. I hear Hunter's mic on.
I do.
Do you hear his fan in the background?
I did.
That we talked about?
I thought it was breath at first.
That's not a quiet fan.
I don't have it turned in the best way, so it's like basically blowing right on the mic. That was my bad. I'll fix that.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying the best record in the National League and going to have the one seed is a foregone conclusion.
No.
The Cubs are still really damn good.
It's a really good baseball team.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame that this is the year they decide to be
really
good.
You could have just ended the sentence there. It's a shame.
It's a shame that I feel this confident about this team with that team on the other side.
Yeah.
But there's no reason to not think that this race in the NL Central is going to come down to one of the two best teams in the National League.
Buford chimes in ESPN Madison on YouTube. Great name, first off. Not a baseball fan, but I am all aboard the bandwagon, baby, says Buford on YouTube at ESPN Madison, as you should be.
This is what makes sports fun.
Yeah.
These teams that come in and take over and win your heart. And they are the type of team to win your heart because it's the classic gritty. They got the small guys, not the big names. It's the underdog mentality. And they're really damn good and really damn entertaining to watch.
I'm going to say something.
Uh-oh.
Oh, geez.
And I don't think I'm going to regret saying this.
Brace yourselves, everyone.
By this time next year, the state of Wisconsin will have a national championship in some capacity. Whether that's the Super Bowl, whether that's the Wisconsin Badgers basketball team.
What a way to phrase it.
Yeah, it was a weird way to say it.
Well, it could be college.
Why not have won a championship?
That too.
Let's reverse. Solo shot on Strofe. We're going to give the take again. We're workshopping.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. By this time next year, a Wisconsin sports team will claim a championship.
What?
That's just what I'm feeling, man.
So does that mean if the Brewers make it to the World Series, is that technically an NL championship?
No, I'm talking.
So grand champion.
They
will have a grand champion.
But, I mean, like, we're going to be talking Packers here in a second. I think the Packers are a little underdog right now. I love being the underdog. Watch out. Like, that's a serious Super Bowl contender. I am, yeah. Oh, what's up?
Because it's sneaky.
Yeah, they're the underdog.
They're being sneaky.
So the Brewers have an underdog mentality. They are no one's underdog.
No, the Brewers aren't. I said the Packers.
Oh, I don't think I don't know if
Packers get a little disrespect this offseason. I like it.
Yeah, I think so. But then everyone would be like, well, I could have seen this coming.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be a quick pivot.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But 12-win team, maybe they're the 5 seed. They rattle off a couple road victories in the playoffs. All of a sudden, Jordan Love's
winning the division for the Brewers would be awesome. Skipping that wild card series and not having to win a best out of 3.
Totally.
Just being in the divisional round, it'd be amazing. How exciting.
I've seen a number of Cubs fans that have been trying to reconcile with the fact that the Brewers are still in this by going with a bunch of the hardo nerd spreadsheet stats. And I feel like I just need to remind...
Yeah, it's Murph Ball, baby.
But it's just Cubs fans need to remember that baseball is won on the field, not in Microsoft Excel. They're trying to rationalize the fact that, like, oh, see, the Brewers are going to fall off. Like, no, you win baseball games out on the field, and the Brewers figure out ways to win games. It doesn't matter what's happening. They are just going to figure out a way to win a game or even stay in a game, and it just that's what they do. And that's okay. You don't have to try and rationalize a team being there or why they'll fall off because you type things into Microsoft Excel.
There is a part of me that can sympathize with the Cubs fans a bit.
Oh, boy. This could go anywhere.
But the one time you're really good in a long time is the one time the Brewers are also. It's the opposite of where we are. They're like, well, we finally got our owner to spend money. It's been a while. Go out and get free agents and do the things you need to do to hopefully win a World Series. We've got a team that's rolling. And the team behind us is the pesky Brewers, who aren't doing it the way anyone thinks you should do it, but they just keep doing it. Like, they're annoyed. I'm happy to be that annoyance. I'm happy we're part of their annoyance.
Proud to be an annoyance. It's like my life motto.
Yeah. It's more of a credo. I don't even know how to make it more intense than a life motto. It's a personal...
he just straight up lives
commandment
it.
Commandment of yours? Yeah.
Gotta live your motto. I'm happy to be the annoyance. Yeah, I mean, this team is as good as anybody. And obviously, they've proven that 6 times in the last 10 games by beating up on the Dodgers and sweeping the season series. Now, you gotta look ahead to the next couple months, next couple weeks. Obviously, the trade deadline, 10 days from today. Next Thursday, the 31st, is the MLB trade deadline. And right before the trade deadline, you'll have a 3-game series a week from today. It begins against the Chicago Cubs. So next week is going to end up being a huge week one way or another for the Milwaukee Brewers. No matter what they do, is they get the Mariners this week, and then I think they have the Marlins, is it this weekend at AmFam Field? So hopefully an opportunity to go into that Cubs series with a couple of wins against a Miami team. But I would assume we are all on the same page here. The Brewers, however many games we are in now, 99 games in, they have proven their World Series good, yes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. I was heartened this morning.
Heartened?
When we
Not put, disheartened, heartened.
Uh-huh. When we put a poll on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy's Twitter that asked, should the Brewers be buyers? Because I've heard a lot of people saying, don't mess with the chemistry. It's a young team that's got something good going. And I saw that a lot, and I was starting to worry that was a more commonly held belief than I hoped. But the vast majority of people still think the Brewers need to make additions at the trade deadline. And I'm fully confident they will. I'm just not confident how, like, is it going to be another Mark Canna?
I was just about to bring that name up. It's not in their DNA to do something super sexy or splashy at the deadline.
Except for the times they've done it.
Yeah, but has it ever been super sexy? I guess I'm trying to think of an example. You have one off the top of your head?
In recent history, the sexiest one is Mike Moustakas, who came in and was like an absolute star.
And then he was an all-star the following year.
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, the CC Sabathia thing was they traded their biggest prospect that they had for CC, who actually didn't pan out that prospect. I forget his name. But it's just a degree of, like... There's no such thing as being too good. And I trust the reigning NL manager of the year to be able to keep that team together and figure out how to win and figure out how to use those guys in the best spots.
Yeah.
Bringing a guy with 35 home runs to the team would make them instantly a terrifying team. They're already scary.
So the position it seems like they're targeting is third base.
Yes.
That would be the obvious go-to.
I wouldn't be surprised about first base.
What do you do with Vaughn then?
Figure it out.
Pinch and same with Hoskins.
Figure it out.
Okay.
Saw it last year. Big pinch hit moments in the playoffs.
That's true.
Huge pinch hit moments.
Very true.
Remember the Jesse Winker pinch hit moment?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure do.
Remember the one before that with the Brewers that went terrible?
Yeah. I mean, that's obviously true, but
I haven't carved out a spot for Andrew Vaughn on the roster through the playoffs.
I just want to point out the Brewers are, what, 8-0 now since he's joined the roster?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do I think he's going to continue to
put some respect on his
name. Do I think he's going to continue to be 6-for-7 with hitters, runners in scoring position? No. I don't think so.
Yeah, it's going to come back down to earth eventually. or, counterpoint, he just becomes the best baseball player of all time.
He has like a 1,200 OPS right now with the Brewers, I believe. And he was hitting 149 for the White Sox before.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
I do think he can be better than he was with the White Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's as simple as a change of scenery. He lands on a contender.
But do I think he's going to get a hit every single time it's a big moment? I don't think that's going to happen.
So far, so good.
Yes.
And obviously, Rhys Hoskins eventually will make his way back from IL and will resume, we would assume, his duties as an everyday first baseman. But yeah, third base seems like the spot. But Caleb Durbin has been so good defensively.
Yeah, and shout out to Dom Catronia, who compared the stats of those two over a period of time. And Durbin had like a little bit better, a significantly better average, but they're, in terms of run creation and those important nerd stats, they were pretty similar. I'm going to take the guy with 35 home runs who's been doing this whole MLB thing for the better part of his life now over Caleb Durbin. And Caleb Durbin has been good and can stay on the big league roster and can still be a big defensive addition. He can be a pinch runner. He can be a pitch hitter.
Josh, just for clarification, I don't believe you've said this man's name yet.
Eugenio Suarez?
Yeah, I can't say his first name. How do you say his first name? It looks like Eugene with an I-O.
Yeah, you could just call him Gene. Gene Suarez. I believe that's the way his teammates refer to him.
Big Gene.
Or Suarez.
Okay.
He's the one piece that everybody's excited about.
And it sounds like he's definitely going to get moved at the deadline.
It seems that
it'd be dumb
the Diamondbacks
for them not
are going to.
To
part. Yeah. They're going to part ways with 3 or 4 players probably at the deadline.
I just hope that the Cubs don't get Big Gene.
You would hope so. It doesn't seem likely that that would be the position they're targeting, right. But it's still certainly possible, and guys can move around, play multiple positions. I want the Brewers to get as good as humanly possible.
I do too, and they're already very good.
Yes,
but to your
Dodgers
point
didn't
here.
Look at Shohei Ohtani and go, "Well, we got Bleak, Betts, and Freeman. We're fine."
Yeah, right.
Which they were fine.
But you want to get as good as humanly possible. And to your point on that, I think with where this team is at, they have proven they are as good as anybody. But I do believe for a lot of these guys, there will be a come back down to earth moment, especially like the Andrew Vaughns of the world, the Isaac Collins of the world, who has been the best surprise for this team all season long. Go get a bat. And just try to stock up because you got to capitalize on when you are the best team in baseball or one of them.
You never know when injuries are going to strike. And with the amount of guys who can play multiple positions on the infield, all the guys on defense, in the outfield can seemingly play any of the positions out there. It's just get better, figure it out, put big bats in the lineup. Like, it's great the Brewers can score runs the way they do. But it's even better to just take one swing of the bat and score 2-3 runs at that. Like, it's simple.
Yeah.
I mean, so looking at some of the MLB stats, like, and I understand that some of this is me guessing here a little bit, but like right now the Brewers sit at 96 home runs. If they added Suarez, they're probably sitting somewhere in the 120s, which puts them about top 10-ish. For home runs, and then RBIs, right now they're sitting at 8th at 440. That number probably then starts getting up close to top 5 in Major League Baseball in RBIs. So, like, that's if he was there the whole season. So, all of a sudden, this offense, I think, looks a lot different if you just have one guy like that.
Yeah, it's a massive, significant boost.
Yeah. I mean, and Contreras hasn't been as reliable offensively as he has been in past years. Obviously dealing with the hand injury hasn't been as big of a bat, swung as big of a stick, if you will. I use that phrase correctly.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks,
it was a little awkward, but you used it right.
Yeah.
It always is with me. I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, and it's kind of a dual meaning.
Yeah, it was. I was going for double entendre, as they call that, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Will, what's a double entendre?
Oh, yeah.
He just told you.
You literally have an example.
It means multiple things.
Yeah.
It means it has two meanings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Was it speak softly and carry a big stick?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nice.
Why is that nice? You getting dirty on us or what?
No, you used the double entendre.
Being perv?
No.
Being a perv?
No.
Will's getting a little pervy on a Monday.
Hell yeah, brother. Oh, good stuff. All right, Brewers and Mariners tonight. Another late night one for you. So Josh, you're asleep by the time this game begins, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's 9:10.
Yeah.
8:40.
What's your bedtime?
I'm in bed by 8.
Jeez.
I usually am asleep somewhere between 8:45 and 9.
You and I live very different lives.
Yes.
I fell asleep at 3 a.m.
Just the way I like it.
Hey, but here we are. We meet in the middle, right on Mr. Irrelevant. That's good. That's good. All right. That does it for Brewers Talk, at least for today, as we inch closer and closer to next week's trade deadline and obviously a big series with the Cubs beginning a week from today. We'll keep you posted. But it's pretty obvious it's hard to contain excitement around this Brewers team. They're as good as anybody. And that is freaking awesome. Freaking awesome. Speaking of freaking awesome, football season, baby. 2 days away from Packers training camp getting underway in Green Bay. It begins Wednesday. We will be there, Joshy and I. Joshy, you looking forward to taking the trip to Green Bay?
Love, just a beautiful drive north.
Josh, are you driving separately this time? Or are you going to try and do a road trip again?
Yeah, I'm going to have peace and quiet.
I'm going to be up there by the time he leaves, probably. I'm going straight up in the morning. I might even go Tuesday night. I haven't decided yet.
Thank you for your itinerary update. Have you done your laundry yet?
Yes. Did it all weekend.
Do you make sure somebody's going to be able to walk the dog in the afternoon?
Oh, actually, great point.
I'll do it.
I didn't think about that. Will, you mind?
On Wednesday?
Yeah.
Could swing that.
Have you met Patricia yet?
No.
Patricia the dog?
I'm good with dogs, though.
My 11-pound toy Aussie doodle? Joshy, I don't think we mentioned this on the show. What was this, last Thursday?
Didn't we mention it Friday? Hunter?
I don't think we did.
I have no idea where you're going.
I don't think we mentioned this.
We talked about it off camera.
I think it was off, yeah. I was walking the dog Thursday night after work, taking my normal, couple block stroll, and I hear a car beep at me, and then I see a man with a beard and a camo hat leaning out of the passenger side window to me and my, again, 11-pound dog who goes up to just past my ankle. Hey, bozo! Joshy, just driving by.
Yeah.
Love it.
What's up?
Yeah. It felt like the most apt thing to say. I was taking note of the size difference between you and said dog. You did look a little funny walking an ankle-high dog.
Were you driving behind him or towards him?
Towards me.
Okay. Towards.
We were two ships passing in the night.
Yep. But, yeah, I saw you come out of the building, was actually yelling at you, and it seemed like you could sort of hear me but not figure out what was going on.
No.
And then, yeah, we drove by you, and I gave you a sup, bozo.
Appreciate that.
Guys,
should I have been more harsh?
That's a cool guy move.
What, calling someone a bozo?
Why did Hunter just guys us? Did we miss something?
Yeah. Oh, I was just, Chris Paul is returning to the Clippers, so the dream of him going to the Bucks. There were some fans that wanted
Hunter,
that.
You a few hours late on the news cycle?
It just said breaking news on the TV, so I assumed that it like recently happened.
They lied to
you. I don't know, about 8 o'clock this morning, I think that came out.
Okay, great, man. I've been doing other work. I'm sorry, I'm not getting Clippers push notifications.
Well, apparently you are if you're bringing it up right now.
It's on the TV. SportsCenter is on in the control room. I saw breaking news pop up.
Yep.
What am I supposed to do when it says breaking news and it's a guy that we had literally talked about?
Well, yes, but that was prior to Ryan Rollins and Cole Anthony being signed.
Yes, I understand, but I was just
So the Bucks, that dream was dead when they signed other point guards.
I understand that. I was more just saying it as like I didn't realize that this wasn't something that had happened three hours ago.
Chris Paul, the Clippers. Will, give me something.
He's back to Lob City.
Well said.
Is Blake Griffin coming back?
Josh, what do you got at Chris Paul and the Clippers?
I don't like him.
Me neither. All right, there's your Clippers update. Training camp starts in 2 days. Josh and I will be there in Green Bay. You got our itinerary rundown now. Look, I'm fired the hell up, man. This is what we wait all year for. I know it's not the first game. I know we're still 7 weeks away from Packers-Lions. But this is the best. We are going to have real conversations to react to, real football to react to, actual practices to react to, who's standing out, who's playing like crap. It all starts Wednesday. And we do our best around here to not completely overreact to things that happen in practice. But I can guarantee you at least sometime this week, I will be overreacting.
I was going to say.
Dramatically.
You're saying we here, and I feel like you're including yourself on something I don't know if you should be able to.
No, I typically don't overreact to practices.
I don't know about that.
I didn't like that noise.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think you think of yourself as somebody who doesn't overreact to practices, but does.
No, I think preseason games I do. Preseason games I do.
Big difference. I forgot.
But practices, I try to.
Who's the first name we're going to hear that is impressing in camp?
Oh, that's a fun question. Okay.
I think
I've got a couple ideas.
Mine, and it's easy and straightforward, but I think my reasoning is solid. Everyone's going to be blown away by Matthew Goldstein.
Agreed. Yep, that's exactly
because they don't have anybody that can rival that, especially without Christian Watson. And he, not to compare him to Tyreek Hill in any sense, but little guys whose legs move really fast.
They're fun.
They look so much faster than like a long stride fast guy.
It's visually appealing.
Yeah.
It is.
Little jitterbug style.
Speaking of speed, I think since he's healthy for the first time since his rookie year OTAs, Luke Musgrave.
Yeah.
I think is gonna stand out quite a bit.
Marshawn Lloyd.
Oh, that's a fun
good
name
one.
Too.
Yeah.
What about defensively?
Different running style. He's the home run guy.
Well, I think there's another
offense
guy. Our
guy Baron Sorrell. Who?
I think Anthony Belton, because he's so big. Like, he's just going to...
He's a huge
He's going to pancake a couple of guys, and people are going to be like, oh, man, he's going to be a big baller on the line.
I'll just point this out. There's a very real possibility he's with the first team this week.
Yeah.
Because there's a good chance that both Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom are not practicing. As they both await different, but both await financial decisions from the team. Zach Tom wants an extension. Elgton Jenkins wants more guaranteed money.
I think defense is going to, the Edgerrin Cooper hype is going to continue to skyrocket.
I love that. And you know what? I'll tell you right now, I'll buy into that.
Yeah, he just fits in terms of the expectations, how we saw him last, and then how fast and what a playmaker he is. I'm trying to think of any of the draft picks.
What about like Nate Hobbs? Could he pop off the page at some point?
I don't know.
I feel like somebody in that corner room is going to have to.
I wonder if we're going to get a lot of like Javon Bullard talk just because his spot isn't guaranteed. So he's going to be at full tilt trying to prove his worth to his teammates and his coaches and general manager. That wouldn't be a name where everyone's like, wouldn't shock me if everyone's like, man, this guy's everywhere. That's the type of guy. I don't have big hopes for LVN. I wonder, Colin Oliver, that one might be interesting to see how they're deciding to use him. And I can't wait. The one thing I can say about LVN is when he lines up in like a 3 or 5 technique and beats who's ever in front of him, be it like a 3rd, 4th string guy, we're going to have to hear about that. What?
The LVN, I don't want to call it hatred. I don't want to call it hatred.
What?
But the LVN smear campaign.
Dismissals?
Yeah, all of the above. Disdain, smear campaign, dismissals. Well underway from Joshy DiMaggio.
Yeah.
And training camp hasn't even
begun. I would love to be wrong.
Of course.
Would love to.
Will you be?
I got a strong feeling I'm on the right side of history.
Well, we're going to get to this over at ESPN.com. They ranked all 32 rosters, just on paper, skill players, right? Like, who is the best rosters? Packers came in 14th, which, given where they finished in the playoffs the last 2 years, they were the 7th seed in the NFC each of the last 2 years, 14th kind of adds up. Right behind them at 15th is the Bears, 9th is the Vikings, 4th is the Lions.
Does it add up? What the hell are the Bengals doing at the number they're at?
Well, let me say this. As I said before, I think the Packers are being overlooked a little bit, which is why it adds up. I do not think they have the 14th best roster in the NFL. I think they're better than that.
The Bengals had either the stone worst or like the bottom three defense in all of the NFL, and they didn't make significant additions there.
Not defensively.
Shamar Stewart might go back to college.
Excuse me, the Lions third, by the way. And he can't go back to college. He's just working out at A&M.
He couldn't re-enroll in school and then get drafted again. He just can't play.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might have to sue the NCAA. Yeah, he'd have to sue the NCAA to be able to get playing time.
You can understand my confusion, though, when you said go back to college.
Yeah. Yeah, I meant he's literally going to re-enroll and be a student again for some reason. But the Bengals at 9,
that offense is so good, though.
They are great. The Commanders, to me, is an interesting one because they skyrocketed. I believe they were picked as one of the worst in all the NFL. Mm-hmm. And they haven't made a ton of... Deebo Samuel's the one that sticks out. Laremy Tunsil as well. But there are a bunch of names on here that are guys who are well past their best days.
Commanders in 7th on this list.
And I understand that Jane Daniels is incredible, did a great job. But the Packers have better players at 75% of the positions.
Yeah, that's how I feel about some of the positions or some of the teams in front of them as well, right? Like the Houston Texans are at 13th, right immediately ahead of the Packers. I'll take the Packers.
Yeah.
Buccaneers are ahead of the Packers. I'd probably take the Packers. Defensively, they've got some big names, though, obviously. The Vikings at 11th. Okay, I got this wrong. Lions 3rd, Vikings 11th, Packers 14th, Bears 15th. So I apologize for my incorrect reporting of this list.
Is the Bears rank 15th the most wrong ranking of them all?
Will?
Yes. It also says that their biggest strength is offensive line, and this is an offensive line that we have not seen play together one snap.
Yeah, but Jonah Jackson, Drew Dahlman, Joe Tooney all being added this offseason.
They've upgraded
If the list is based strictly on paper, then yes, which I think it is.
It is.
And is the reason the Bears exactly are only one back of the Packers and that the Packers are so high up in the rankings.
How many games do the Bears win this year?
They're capping at 9.
That's above 500.
Yeah. I think that's their ceiling.
That's a very realistic outlook for a Bears fan. I don't know what's going on here.
He's been listening to Packers propaganda for a solid year now.
Yeah.
That's true.
He's come over to the other side and realized how much we laughed at them for their incredible high hopes and said, man.
They do this all the time.
I can't get caught hung out to dry like that again.
If you want my personal prediction.
I do. That's what I asked for.
No, he gave you the sensible radio host production.
Oh, I don't want that.
Now we're going to get...
We don't do that.
Now we're going to get Will the...
12-5.
Yeah, that is Will on Twitter after a big game. That's the guy we want to talk to.
Yeah, that's who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to sensible Will. Who the hell's that?
We might sneaky start 4-0.
There we go.
I was looking at the odds and... I think they're favored half of their first four games, and even the ones that were not favored were like plus 110. So it's
How many thousand yard receivers do you guys have? And you can count your tight end.
One.
Wow.
Oh, in history?
No.
Or like this current year. DJ Moore is probably the only one. Wow. I think he had 1,200.
No Romo Dunze, Love?
I think Colson Loveland?
He'll get like 800.
My favorite moment of the NFL draft was when...
This also didn't happen.
Fake news.
Yeah.
The Bears give up to pick, and I said, all right, well, I'll give you 30 seconds. Where are they going? And he said, well, they're going to draft Tyler Warren. Right? He's the best tight end on the board. Get another great tight end, another offensive weapon for Caleb Williams. This offense is going to be amazing. No doubt it's Tyler Warren.
And then they took Colson Loveland, who I think is better.
Yeah. Will did not at the time. He might now. He might have talked himself
into it. I lost my list of top draft prospects. He was one on my big board, but I lost the piece of paper. Also, Strofe thought I was like just doing that to be funny.
I did.
Because he thought, like, apparently the pic got leaked beforehand, but I did not see it, so I was being 100% genuine.
It was an amazing
He texted
moment.
Me after, he's like, good work.
Yeah, I was like, that was amazing comedy, well done. He's like, what? No, I'm being serious. I was like, oh no, that's a bad look.
Poor guy.
Yeah, not a great look. So anyway, my point on bringing this list up actually had to do with Lucas Van Ness. Because their writers at ESPN NFL Nation, they project the starting lineups for every team. Did you notice a name that's missing?
Yeah, Alvians.
Yeah, Kingsley Anagbare listed as the defensive end opposite of Sean Gary, which is just fantastic. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, not fantastic.
I don't know about that. I also found it interesting, too, how they don't make the rosters they're projecting uniform. Some have two running backs, yep. Others don't.
I have noticed that as well.
Some have more corners or more safeties. It's just they kind of like piece it together in the way that they see fit, I suppose. I don't really know what to make of that.
Well, here's the thing that's confusing is because the Bears have 12 on each side. So their defense, they have 5-2-5.
Yeah, the Packers have 12 as well. So I think they just made rosters of 12 and said, fill in how you would like between running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and then did the same thing with...
Packers is 4-2-6 defensively.
Linebackers, corners, and safeties.
I love that. Amazing.
Kind of choose your own adventure style there.
Indeed. Packers at 14 is fine. It's not ultimately what's going to end up. Yeah, they're going to be a top 10 team all year.
It's... the same thing that's going to continue to happen. We see all those rankings come out. The Packers don't have many teams on it. How could they be as good as they are? Matt LaFleur isn't going to get listed as good of a head coach or play caller as he is. And then the Packers are going to overperform that. And then we're going to be at the end of the season going, why was nobody else seeing this?
All right. Better shot at a championship. Brewers or Packers? Quick, go.
Brewers.
Will.
Brewers.
Hunter.
Brewers.
I think I agree.
Yeah.
I think the NFL is the hardest sport to win a championship.
Yes. One done is remarkably challenging. Also, if we were sitting here and the Packers had beaten the Eagles and the Lions and, say, the Ravens, I'd probably change my tune. But after watching one team sweep the reigning series sweep, the reigning World Series champions, it's hard to be like, yeah, I don't see it with that team.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I wish I would have asked you this question maybe last week.
I still think I say Brewers because I've been on their World Series good now for a few weeks. I think the Packers are capable of winning a Super Bowl.
And you know, I was laying in bed. This is how much of a nerd I am. I was laying in bed last night looking at the schedule. The Packers schedule.
You just stare at it? Do you like have it taped up to the ceiling above your bed?
Something to change?
It was about 2:30 a.m. I was kind of struggling.
I was kind of struggling to sleep.
Yeah,
why?
I fell asleep about 3 o'clock last night. I took a nap on Saturday and Sunday.
You pulled up the ESPN
app. So you're
app,
a baby? Did you nap too late? you can't fall asleep?
Yeah. I'm like that too.
Yeah.
My 3-year-old niece does that.
So I took a nap on Saturday, big night out for Eric Names, got up a little earlier than I'd like, and I took about a half hour nap. Mm. And I didn't have trouble falling asleep, I had trouble staying asleep.
Mm.
I can just hit the hay. Usually it's the consistent good sleep that's usually my problem.
Okay. Yeah, well, all of the above for me.
I've never ever been a guy who lays up staring at the ceiling at night.
Oh, I do all the time. It's quite often.
Couldn't be me.
You got to take some melatonin or something then, man.
Brother, I'm two steps ahead of melatonin and I'm still not sleeping.
Narcotics?
Strofe, are you okay?
Maybe just one step ahead.
I was going to say, two steps is a lot.
Well, narcotics can be described as prescription drugs as well.
I don't do prescriptions.
If it would help you sleep, it might be a good idea.
I don't do prescriptions.
I guess what I'm referring to, you could get a prescription for it in other states. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just not here. So anyway.
What do you think he's talking about, guys?
I have no idea.
Enlighten me.
Okay.
So I'm laying in bed at 2:30 a.m. last night. And I'm looking at the Packers schedule. And I'm thinking to myself, Lions week one. Commanders week two. If they start 2-0,
Super Bowl
or bust.
Fire everybody.
You know who's gonna have that take if that happens? Our boy Jim Rutledge.
Oh wow.
Because if the Packers have any sort of success, it's well, you gotta win a Super Bowl, you beat a good team.
But here's the thing, if they start 2-0, they might start 6-0.
If they start 6-0.
17-0 is no-brainer. But think about it. Lions Commanders is your first 2 weeks in 4 days. And then you have a long rest and you go to Cleveland, who's gonna stink?
PU. Right?
Yes, PU. 3-0.
Then you go to narcotics there. So they forget about that team.
Then they go to Dallas week four. Sunday night football. Win. Bye week. 4-0.
Win.
4-0. 4-0 bye week. Then you return home and play Cincinnati. It's going to be the highest scoring game of the NFL season. Because the Packers are going to score 87 on that horrible defense. Then they go to Arizona. Then they go to Pittsburgh Sunday night football. And then obviously their schedule gets a little bit tougher from there on out. They host Carolina, but then it's Philadelphia, Minnesota, Detroit,
Chicago. I got to give you credit here.
Yeah, what's up?
You might be the only one doing the schedule game on July 21st.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
Bad. Derogatory.
But in my defense, this is authentic, though. I was doing this last night in bed. I was like, my girlfriend and the dog are asleep next to me. Does your dog sleep in the bed with you?
Sure does. Much to my behest.
Does he go between you and Mussolini?
Right between. Oh, yeah. Sometimes right on my legs. I'll wake up and I'm like, why am I so hot? Oh, it's the 70-pound dog on my legs.
So I'm looking at the schedule and I'm like, oh, baby, if they start 2-0, I'm going to be awful. You guys are going to hate me. Yeah. Or left me, one way or the other. Will, you asked me a question before the show. I didn't tell you we were doing this on the show. You asked me a question before the show about cornerback and wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Can you ask me it right now?
So I said, is there anything to the effect of your wide receiver room has a lot of guys that can play and compete and start for the Packers, and your cornerback room is quite the opposite? Would you trade one of your... I'd say mainstays at wide receiver for a cornerback at equal talent or skill in terms of their position.
Joshy?
Repeat the question. I didn't fully understand it.
Basically, would you,
I didn't either. That's why I wanted him to ask it here.
Would you give up one of your wide receivers that gets like an ample amount of catches for
Romeo Dobbs?
Yeah. For a cornerback who would be like the Romeo Dobbs of cornerbacks.
Well, yes. Even though I don't think that highly of Romeo Dobbs, I would just like the... it would raise the average level of that position group. I think the Packers have more wide receiver depth than they do cornerback depth, so I think that would be beneficial.
I would be willing to part ways with one of them. I just don't know if cornerback's as big of an issue as we maybe think it will be.
I haven't thought that since prior to the draft, since after the draft.
You haven't thought what?
I haven't thought the cornerback is that big of an issue. The top-end talent of Jair is no longer there, but it wasn't there the past two, three, four seasons anyways.
Right.
The Packers are confident in the three guys that they have, and then behind that, if you're complaining about, well, you don't have a cornerback four, no one else does either.
Nobody else does either, right? And Michael Robinson and Kalen King are going to be guys that are competing for that job. They're seventh-round picks. Kalen King was viewed as like the most underappreciated pick in the NFL draft last year.
He was at one point a first-round pick who then fell all the way to the seventh.
Right. So he's clearly got a skill set. We just haven't seen it on display yet for the Packers because I think he was on the practice squad all of last season.
I just think the Packers, I mean, the Packers are like seven deep at wide receiver.
Yes.
And
I'm not saying it's impossible they eventually move on from one of those guys.
No, of course not.
Right. As you get closer to cutdown days, I would guess it's very possible that they end up trading a, say, Malik Heath, who, by the way, congratulations, announced his girlfriend or wife was pregnant today, I saw on Instagram.
Beautiful love they got.
You're so on top of the off-field things.
Yeah, what did you make of Romeo Dobbs' post?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, wow.
Twitter search Romeo Dobbs.
Uh-oh. Drama?
He posted a Steph Curry picture of him, like, sitting...
Oh,
just
yeah, and
alone?
It looked like he was all lonely, and it was weird.
Oh.
He's in disbelief he missed this.
I get nothing.
Wow.
I'm sure it means nothing. He's just kind of a weird cat.
I mean, it means something.
No.
He posted it for a reason.
Yeah, it might be like in reference to the song that was playing on the Instagram story. I think we're reading too much into Romeo.
Isn't this guy amazing?
He's the king of reading too far into things.
But if it doesn't, if it's not something he wants to read, yeah. It doesn't read at all.
You guys don't understand.
Strophe is the epitome of saying, like, not all art is political, like... Just like, no, you can't read into everything. No, there's no meaning behind anything ever.
You want me to ask him? I'll ask him.
Via Instagram what? Comments?
No, I'll text him.
Romeo Dobbs?
Yeah.
Have you ever texted with Romeo Dobbs before?
Define texted with.
Has he ever responded to anything you've said to him?
No.
Okay.
But you've texted.
Was this all just a way to brag that you have Romeo Dobbs?
There's an elaborate plan.
I'm just lying to you. No, I'm lying to you. I don't have his phone number.
So it makes it even more puzzling.
What was the end game there?
Wait, so he posted. Where is it? I can't find it. I saw it on Twitter. I'm confused.
Did I get duped?
I don't know, man.
I saw it too, Josh.
Okay.
Oh, it was
a story?
Yeah.
It was Instagram story.
But it's gone now. It's gone now.
Speaking of Romeo Dobbs, I was going to ask you guys, if you feel good about the cornerback room, would you do Will's hypothetical trade, but instead of a corner, you send Dobbs for a Romeo Dobbs level edge rusher?
Yes, I would send Romeo Dobbs for anything equal his talent.
Yep, agreed. Well, I will say... I think we're going to see a lot of Romeo Dobbs early in the season. I think his role gets eventually minimized, but I think right out of the gates, you get a lot of Romeo Dobbs.
Now, Define will see a lot of Romeo Dobbs. Him being on the field, then I agree, yes.
Yes.
Him being productive, not so
necessarily.
Much. I think we all know a good game for him is 4 to 5 catches.
Can I be honest with you? I just got very distracted. I always forget Bill Belichick is a coach again. I always forget he's coaching at North Carolina.
We have done multiple segments on this show about him and being at North Carolina with his girlfriend, Jordan.
No. See, that's the difference. We have not done anything about Tar Heel football. I can't name one player.
No.
We've done it about his 24-year-old
girlfriend. The fact that he is there and we have said that he is at North Carolina.
And the reason we know so much is because there was a public files request of the emails that his... girlfriend was
right, but
because of the head coach.
But he still has to coach. He hasn't coached a game yet.
Yeah, that team's going to be bad, and it's going to be fun to laugh at.
It's going to be really fun.
Really bad.
I agree with you on that. Badgers, by the way, 12th in the media poll for the Big Ten this year.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yikes.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff has them 10 to 12. I was playing the schedule game with the Badgers, though. I got them at 7 wins.
Schedule game, guys.
Yeah.
Schedule game, guys. What we do around here.
One time when Ben kept doing back at Skulls and Brush Days, now I'm just reminiscing. Ben kept doing the schedule game, and I believe it was for the Brewers, so I believe we made him do like 100 games in a segment. Just to prove how insane it was to keep doing what he was doing. And I believe on Scales and Brust, we spent 2 segments of him going over series and saying how many they were going to win. And it was like 100-plus games.
I love that.
That's fun. I like that. All right, time now for What We Missed, What We Learned. It's presented by Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. Love Door County Distillery.
My mom does, too.
Yeah, your mom was there this weekend.
Sure was.
She likes her cherry-flavored items.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying the brandy and the vodka, I noticed, with the cherry brandy, vodka.
Yeah, there was... it was seemed like there was little samples they were doing, like little flights, I believe is what you would call it. Yeah, she likes the flavored stuff. I brought her home, the vodka and the... it's escaping me. Moonshine.
Yeah.
That's what it was. I brought her home that. They went right back. Truthfully, I didn't know they were going to be in Door County until I got a picture of the sign out front. And I said, oh, look at that. So shout out to them for going there. I'm sure they had a great time.
I'm sure they did, too, because it is a great time at Door County Distillery, just north of Sturgeon Bay in Carlsville. Make sure you stop in for the tours, the tastings, the exclusive products if you're heading up to Door County this summer. But if not, bring Door County to you, whether you got graduation parties, family reunions or gatherings, birthday parties, tailgates, all the in-betweens. Anything you need booze for, elevate it with Door County Distillery. Like I mentioned, they're locally produced, they're award-winning, they're affordable, they are amazing. Brandies, whiskeys, gins, rums, vodkas, and more. Available wherever you get great booze. DoorCountyDistillery.com. Use the search tool. Find the retailer nearest you, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes. I feel like we've been congratulating Will a lot on this program recently, Josh. Isn't that fair?
Yeah, I think congratulations are still in order.
I tend to agree. Will signed on his new apartment today. Congratulations,
yeah,
Will.
I did. I'm pumped.
Happy for you.
I also made the Dean's List my last semester, so if you guys want to clap it up for that, first time ever.
Wow.
Congrats.
Nerd.
Thanks.
We got a real brain surgeon on our hands.
Yep.
Taking walking classes very hard.
Yeah, I imagine. So you're moving. When?
A week from today.
Nice. You need help?
I don't know from you.
I also think he deserves a round of applause for this take.
Yeah, so you said this to me off the air.
I said,
hey, if you need help, let me know.
I pretty much got it down. There's like two heavy things in my inventory that I'm...
Yeah, hold on. I don't give a damn
inventory
about that.
That I need moving. And Strofe, I got to give him credit. He went out of his way to offer his services to help me move.
Yeah, I would have never done that.
After he's hosting a show from 5 to 6 that day.
Yep.
And I wanted to say yes, but I couldn't pass up the opportunity to just say, I don't think you'd be too much of a help.
Dunk on you.
Got him.
That's what he did.
Josh, aren't you like a habitual mover, helper guy?
Yes.
Are you going to offer?
No.
Why not?
Because he lives far away.
Yeah.
And it's a weekday.
Okay.
It is pretty far.
I mean, you're going to be probably finishing moving sometime after I'm already in bed.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Because he's working all day.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of which, I was looking at getting a U-Haul, and you can buy insurance on it, and some of the insurance damages cover up to $1 million. And it just made me think, like, what kind of damages could you cause with a U-Haul worth $1 million?
Hit a pedestrian, pay their medical bills.
Yes, it's humans, or you drive, accidentally lose control of it, and drive into, like, a Lamborghini dealership.
Hmm. Hope that doesn't happen.
Me too.
I've never bought the insurance and I've been fine.
All right. Good.
I've always bought the insurance.
Ah, sucker.
What an idiot.
Who'd have thought you were the sucker?
But wait a minute.
Sucker. It's kind of a big truck.
Hold on. Sucker. First off, I drive a Ford Focus normally.
Okay.
Cool.
Driving a big truck 90 miles, which I did the last time.
Oh, so you're a sucker and a coward. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys trust me driving a big ass truck?
I don't trust you doing anything.
That's my point. That's why I got the insurance.
But yeah, it's more of a, you're just a little gambling.
Yeah, I do like gambling.
Yeah.
But not with my financials too much, because all of a sudden that's a $10,000 commitment if you crash that puppy.
What size box trucks have you driven?
The biggest ones.
I don't know.
I believe
the biggest you can legally drive is like a 24 footer.
I don't think it was that big. I think I had like 18.
I had to do that once for the company. We were moving things from the blue building across the street from
to Radio City.
To Radio City. And I was the only one that had any experience really driving a big vehicle.
Why do you have?
Because I drove a 24 foot box truck or a 20 foot box truck for one of my previous jobs.
You are a fascinating fella.
Yeah,
the 20-foot ones, like, they're not bad. It's like you're driving a pickup.
It sounds much more intimidating than it is in practice. You just got to be mindful of taking slightly wider turns. Otherwise, it's normal business.
I did a 20-footer with a trailer once. Severe that hangover. Was terrifying. Oof.
A severe hangover through downtown Milwaukee as they were doing road construction.
Oh, sick.
So everything went fine. But it wasn't, I wasn't.
Your head wasn't feeling.
I wasn't having fun. I wasn't enjoying any of it. But we did it. We grinded.
Proud of you.
Yes, thank you.
All right, Will, what did we miss?
We got.
Or learn, rather, for you.
Nomenclature. The devising or choosing of names for things, especially in a science or other discipline. As the Packers begin training camp, many of the rookies may be confused by the complex nomenclature of the plays and schemes. Whoop!
Nailed it.
That was really good.
Good job.
Behest, a person's order or command. Josh behested me to get him a Diet Coke.
What? Not quite.
Nope. Definitely not.
What?
See, this is my problem. I forget that some of them are nouns. I just assume they're all verbs.
Mr. What's Dean's list forgets that there are nouns.
What am I supposed to do with that?
I might have to start including the part of speech.
Just let him sit in it.
Okay. All right.
I forget that some of these are nouns. I just think they're all verbs.
I don't
think that's a noun.
If I don't think past is a noun.
Past is not a noun.
What is it?
You're the one doing the research.
Is it a verb?
No. Well,
I love verbs.
Why?
It's your favorite verb.
It is a noun.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's more an attitude than it is a...
Well, I don't think that's
person,
a part
place,
of speech.
Or thing.
I don't think attitude's a part of speech.
Wouldn't it be like a adjective?
Did you mean to say adjective when you said attitude?
No, I didn't. Okay. What is behest? Is that a noun or an adjective?
It's a noun.
It is a noun, and you can the plural noun of behest is behests.
So I shouldn't have said behested.
Behests.
Nope.
But I think you were trying to use it in the past.
Yeah, I don't think it worked.
I don't know. Good job.
What? Okay. Well, that does it for us today. I don't know how this went, to be honest with you.
I feel like we were fine until my late breaking news about Chris Paul. I feel like that was the beginning of the end of the show.
I mean, if I were to rank ourselves, we didn't need Stroh's breakdown on his personal tasks you needed to complete.
Like what? What do you mean?
Like the things you had to do prior to... Why are we talking about your...
Going to Green Bay.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And
what do I need to do?
I don't know. You just decided to delve into personal things that were happening in your life.
No, you asked me if I had somebody to walk the dog.
I asked you that to make fun of you for telling us, once again, the fine details of your life nobody cares about. Sometimes I swear I'm doing a different show.
Can you go on with the rankings?
You are. Yeah, here, let's get some music for it.
What are we ranking?
We gotta leave.
Our show performances. It's four of us. Let's go, Josh.
All right, Josh, go ahead.
Me, number one. Wilf, two. Hunter, three.
Really?
Alex, four.
I was great other than the Chris Paul. Like, that's my one blemish.
You had one big snafu.
Yeah.
You had one big snafu. Otherwise, it would have been 2A and 2B.
What the hell did I do wrong?
You just didn't bring it today.
No, I sure did.
You brought your C-minus game.
You brought your schedule game. Hopefully, I bring it
Wednesday. Josh,
you did schedule game twice.
Josh, you and I back with you Wednesday. Beginning at noon, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee,
you also
ESPN
told
Milwaukee
us about
on YouTube.
Sleeping again.
We will talk to you at noon on Wednesday, live from the Central Trio in Green Bay. From OT and at OCA's training camp. I'm lost.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
We're done doing the show.
It's the fact that you might stay Tuesday night because we cared about that. Training camp.